This is an oral history interview with Nettie Whitley conducted by Beth Reeves on February the 17th at 11 o'clock a.m. The subject of the interview is the 1920s and the Depression through World War II and the 1940s. Some basic information about Nettie. Where and when were you born?
I was born in Clay County, September the 17th, 1925.
And who were your parents, and what were their occupations, or what did they do in their lifetime?
My mother's name was Essie, and my father's name was Chester Carter. And my dad had different jobs at different times. He had a farm, and then he worked at the Brecon Loading Company in Talladega during the war, and then he ran in a country store the rest of his life.
Mm-hmm. Where did you attend school, and what years did you attend?
I first started to a little Bethel School, two-room school, which was very near to my home, and we didn't have a car, so I attended that first year there. And then I went to Delta, which was from first grade through ninth at Delta, and enjoyed every minute of it because it was we played basketball in the junior high school, and I played basketball in high school. But it was very rewarding experience for me because I rode a bus, and I'd never been on a bus, and I rode the bus every morning to school at Delta, and we had a lot of good training there at that school.
What were your past occupations as you were growing up and through your life, and what do you do now?
I never worked until I married, and so my first job was at a dress shop called Taylor's Dress Shop on Noble Street in Anniston. And when I went to apply for the job, I'd never written a resume or had never applied for a job, and so I walked in, and the ladies became dear, just talking to them. I enjoyed talking to them, so they asked me to have a cup of coffee and all this. And so when I started to leave after filling out my application, the manager said, Miss Whitley, would you like to come in Monday? And I began to talk her out of the job. I said, I don't know how to sign a sales ticket. I don't know how to do anything. And I was a little bit frightened, so she says, we'll handle it all. And to this day, I have a dear friend, and we're having a reunion every 3 months, some of the ladies who work with me in that area. Mm-hmm.
If you don't mind telling me, what's your religious affiliation, and what church do you attend?
You can go back. Can I go back?
Yeah.
Okay. Tell me my past occupation. Uh-huh. And then after my children were in school, I began to work at the library for 1958, and I first went in as the reference desk, and then I drove a bookmobile in the morning and came to schools. We went to all the schools and deposited books, and even in the community, in the homes. And then Calhoun County and Anniston Public merged, and I became the county librarian. And then from that, I organized Chehalla Region, which served 6 counties and 11 libraries, and that's where I retired.
And now for your religious affiliation.
I'm a Baptist, and I'm a member of First Baptist Church.
A proud member. Now to your childhood in the 1920s. Tell me about your home life during that time.
I had a very good home life. I only had one sister, and my parents thought that they had the only two daughters that was ever born. They treated us that way. That's why I spoiled today. But anyway, they were very kind to us, and they made sure we had the right kind of religious training as well as school, and we were involved in everything. And my mother did not go out as much as Dad did, and because he worked at the country store, and he was in that. But she made sure that we were at all the meetings at school and all the meetings at church.
The Depression began in 1929. How did that affect your family?
This really affected everybody's family. I can remember a little bit because I was 7 and 8 somewhere along that, but I can remember a good bit about it. We had a farm, but we didn't have any money. And my mother canned, and we had pigs, and they butchered those, and we had cows and beef. And apples and everything. So we had plenty of food to eat. And my mother made the first coat I ever had out of a naval coat that my uncle brought home from the Navy, and did a beautiful job. And I enjoyed that coat and pressed around it because I thought it was just beautiful. And she made all of our dresses. And we had to feed the cattle and the chickens and all that. And mother bought feed that would have beautiful floral patterns in the cloth, and she made us dresses, and we would swap up with people who lived in the city who did not have money or cash and give material to them, and they would bring us things like makeup and things my aunts and uncles would. And so we shared, and we shared the food, and we made sure that they had plenty of food. But all the extra things for girls, my aunt, who now lives in Chattanooga, furnished me that, and she would also buy my evening gowns, and she would also make sure that I had money. And she's now in her 80s, but we make sure she has what she needs now.
Herbert Hoover was president during the Depression. How did you or your family feel about him?
I am a Democrat, so we did not like Herbert Hoover. And he did not do for us what we thought he should do, because we needed help desperately. And so all of my family, they just did not appreciate his term of office.
Radio and movies came out during the 1920s. Did your family ever have a radio, or did y'all go to any movies?
We did not attend any movies until I was up in my teens, but we had a radio and thoroughly enjoyed it. We all sat up, but it had a lot of static on it. We all had to sit up real close to it, but my dad made sure we had a radio. And we enjoyed country music back then, and Grand Ole Opry and things like that, because it came on Saturday night, and that's about all you could hear. But it had a lot of static, and a lot of our neighbors would come to our house and listen to the radio on Saturday night. So we thoroughly enjoyed that.
Did the Depression continue into the 1930s, and if so, was that affected on your family?
Yes, I can remember in 1932 I was started to school, and so it affected us. We didn't have, as I say, money, or we didn't have a lot of people didn't have jobs. And if you didn't have a farm and live on a farm and have all these things that we had, you really you had a hard time. But we, as I said, we shared a lot of our food and a lot of the things that we had. Also shared our home with people, you know, who did not have money or to buy one or rent one. And at times we'd have, you know, Mother was just always that way. She shared our home. And we had a country home which had big rooms and space, you know. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. I'd like to go back to see it every now and then, you know, because it does mean a lot. My dad sold it to the Putwood Company and bought a smaller farm when we married. I never lived where he lived, but in the late part of his life. But the 30s was all the way through was just really rough for everybody. And I think that was the hardest time of my life, even though I was just young, you know, and girl. But that was one of the hardest parts of my life.
Tell me about Roosevelt as president. He was elected in 1932 for the first time and reelected again in 1936. And how did he do during these two terms?
Wonderful. He came in with saying that he was going to, now I don't remember his speeches, but I remember what my pastor, he came in saying that he was going to help the people who needed it. And he started the WPA, and men worked in WPA, such roads as the Cheeha Mountain and up in Gatlinburg, and all that rock you see along the way, that's what the WPA did. And he gave people jobs. And that was what he was interested in, to make sure that the underprivileged had a job. And he did do that for the people. And those were, after he came in, it took him a while to get everything started. But he was a wonderful, wonderful president. And I think that's why he was reelected, the terms that he was reelected, because people loved him. And I can remember how when he would speak on the radio, it just made cold chills, because you loved him so, and you appreciated him so, and you realized that he also had a handicap. Mm-hmm.
In 1939, the first TV broadcast came out. Did you have a TV at that time? If not, when did you get one?
We didn't have one of the very first ones, but it must have been in the 1940, because we didn't get one in the beginning. And, oh, yes, we got one. It was not very good, but we had one.
Okay, the World War II began in 1941. And what do you recall about its beginning?
I was sitting on the hillside in Broomsage, and I had, of course, I wasn't allowed to smoke, and I never have smoked. But that particular day, we had five girls that had been to Sunday school and church, and we had not turned the radio on. That was not what we was thinking about. So we went to Sunday school and church, and that afternoon, we were sitting on the hillside, and we got some rabbit tobacco, and I went down to my house, and I said, I'll get some papers for my dad. I've noticed that he rolls his cigarettes. I went down and I found a little pack of paper, and I came back on the hillside, and I said, I didn't see any tape. How do you get these things to stay? And one of my friends fell out in life, and she said, you lick it. Mm-hmm. And so we sat up there, and I didn't smoke much because I didn't like it, but we had more fun. And then someone came to the hillside and said, Pearl Harbor's bombed this morning. I thought, so what? You know, yes, well, you felt, mm-hmm. you know, we didn't know what much back was. News is not like it is now. So I said to think to myself, well, it's a bomb. But the next morning, we got on the school bus, and as we went to school, everybody was talking about it. So when we got to school that morning, we went to assembly. And this is the President Roosevelt came on the air, and he declared war. And I can remember, you know, the way he said it and what he explained to us, we began to understand. So we went out of that room crying, all of us. But the sad time came about a month later when a lot of boys volunteered, and one of our Baptist friends got killed at Pearl Harbor the morning it was bombed. But we didn't know that until 2 weeks later. And we had several friends there. It was sad because all these young boys was going off and leaving their parents and leaving us because we had a lot of boyfriends and that, you know, a lot of friends and a lot of family who had brothers. I didn't have any to go, and my dad was too old to go. And so I didn't feel it like a lot of them did in their homes, but we felt it in the school. And it was hard because we listened for every day, you know, and then we got letters from them saying where they was until they went overseas, and then they couldn't say exactly when it was in war zone. But we'd get letters. And I was dating a boy, a twin, and he got killed in the Battle of the Bulge. But I was, that was later on in the war. But I was already married because about almost the end of the war. And it was on Christmas, during Christmas time, and snow was on. But his twin brother was with him, and he got killed. His twin brother picked him up and carried him back to the station, and he died. It was not because of a shell. It was because of the shock of the shells that was falling. And so we had a lot of sad things happen during that time. And it was hard. This is kind of difficult for me to say, but it brought money into the States, and things begin to pick up, people working and doing different things. So it was also, even though the sad part, it was a good time because we did have more money, and that's when we began to feel that we could have more money and do things and dress different and eat different and, you know, all this kind of thing. So it was a sad time, but a good time. Mm-hmm.